This is KUT Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten. As the COVID-19 pandemic has spread across the country and the world, it's been followed by a spread of misinformation and conspiracy theories. We're not even going to talk about what those are, but given their prevalence and endurance, it's worth looking at the psychology behind them. And for that, I turn to Janice Rockman. She's a neuropsychotherapist in private practice in Central Texas. We talked via Zoom about what's going on when people embrace conspiracy theories and what those of us who don't can do about it.
I think that it plays with the human mind, the human brain, the human experience of self-preservation in a really tenuous way that causes people to feel a degree of uncertainty that causes them to want to latch on to something that feels tangible. Our threat detection system goes off if we feel that we are being mistreated, misaligned, on purpose, right? And once that threat detection system goes into gear, we're going to put up barriers. And sometimes those barriers are coping mechanisms that look like a lot of intellectualism. And sometimes it can go over into hyper-intellectualism where we are obsessing over finding the answers.
Does any of this scenario about conspiracy theories have to do with control?
I think that a lot of it is about control. And I think that we have to at least consider that we have the ability to influence, but not control. And we have to consider being sensitive to when we are influencing and when we need to step back and lean out of the quest for control. And that being said, the best thing that you can control is your reaction and your response. And that goes back to the acronym we talked about, I think, a couple of segments back, WIN, what is happening in the now, getting back in the here and now in the present moment. Because too much forecasting, projecting, and planning for impending doom of any kind, it activates the nervous system so significantly that it can actually lead to poor health outcomes as well as mental health outcomes. And guess what? It can also interrupt the enjoyment of your life in the here and now.
You had brought up a little while ago the idea of over-intellectualizing or overthinking, over-examining.
If we use it as a way to disconnect from what we're feeling or disconnect from reality, it becomes a maladaptive behavioral pattern. And in some ways, it can become a behavioral addiction. And rumination comes to mind, where you continue to bring up the same thought philosophically over and over and over again, a process of thinking deeply about something, but it becomes harmful because it's repeated and it becomes disordered thinking.
There are a lot of articles out there around this theme, which is something like, how do I talk to somebody who believes a certain conspiracy theory? Or how do I have like a civil conversation and not just a screaming argument with someone who thinks that, you know, the moon landing was faked?
For some, conspiracy theories almost become almost like religion. It's like, do not move me off this post, off this mountain, because this is going to threaten everything that's important to me or everything that I believe or how I guide my life and my affairs. I think that for all of us, if we could think about becoming curious about what the person is saying, curious and not condemning. And so when we have that to kind of guide our conversations with people, we can begin to let go of the A word, which is agenda. Whenever you have an agenda for another person, when you go into the conversation, you're kind of setting yourself up to build walls of defense. And when you erect walls of defense because you have an agenda, it's just going to cause them to erect theirs higher. I can sit across the room from someone that has a completely differing political affiliation, mask wearing or not beliefs, religion, all of it, and be comfortable. But that comfort starts with being comfortable within oneself first. And that takes a little inner work. And I think most of us would rather try and micromanage other people than work on ourselves.
It definitely seems one thing to sit across from somebody who we don't like the same kind of car or whatever. It seems really different to sit across from someone literally who doesn't think that wearing masks is necessary to help stop the spread of COVID-19, or someone who thinks that the Sandy Hook school shooting of young elementary school students was, you know, a hoax and was faked. How do we bring that curiosity to the table when the other person has beliefs that are repugnant and just flat out wrong?
So it's not our assignment to figure out what our role is in that person's life and this experience. I think it's our assignment to show up as the most authentic, compassionate, reasonable, loving versions of ourselves and to speak truth unequivocally without question. And what is done with that after and the domino effect of that is sort of not our work. Because if enough of us show up doing that on a consistent basis, it moves the needle, it changes the outcomes, and ultimately it impacts the culture with more truth, authenticity, compassion, and more of a collective consciousness. So there can be something called unification.
Janice Rockman is a neuropsychotherapist in private practice in Central Texas. Janice, thank you for your time and discussion today.
Thank you.